You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, June 14th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And we begin today's show with a heavy heart as there was a shooting today in Virginia near Washington, D.C. A gunman opened fire on Republican congressional members and staffers who were preparing for a softball game. And this is just obscene and disgusting, and it shows once again how we need to do something in this nation about our mental health crises, about our proliferation and easy access to guns and ammunition. We'll talk more about that in hour two. But coming up on today's show, we begin with the cannabis headline news. That will be followed by our cannabis minority report. And we've got a great talk from Asha Bandele from the Drug Policy Alliance on modern day abolition, plus a look at, or at least a listen to, Jay-Z's narration of a video that the Drug Policy Alliance put out against the drug war. In the middle of the show, we've got some reefer madness to debunk. We'll talk about the state of Massachusetts and how they're looking to screw the voters who voted for marijuana legalization. And then in our Southwest Cannabis Chronicle, we'll go back to Fort Worth, Texas, hear my speech there, as well as a police officer and Christian minister who supports marijuana legalization. Plus, we'll have time for a radical rant and more coming up next.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
And now, another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre. I'm your host, Leonard Pinth-Garnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark! Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
'Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. 'Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pinth-Garnell III.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the Marijuana Policy Insider with Marijuana Policy Project. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. Massroots is reporting that an Obama-era memo that provides guidance for how states can avoid interference with their marijuana laws is still federal policy. The U.S. Department of Justice's second highest-ranking official said in two congressional hearings on Tuesday. But he added that it might not be the case for long. Quote, "At the moment, the memorandum is still in effect," Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein told the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice, Science, and Related Agencies. "Maybe there will be changes to it in the future, but we're still operating under that policy, which is an effort to balance the conflicting interests with regard to marijuana," end quote. He was responding to a question from Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, who referred to a letter that U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions sent to Congress asking that lawmakers not review a separate federal budget rider that prevents the Justice Department from spending money to interfere with state medical cannabis laws. Massroots exclusively reported the existence of that letter on Monday. In a sweeping rewrite of the voter-passed marijuana legalization measure, Massachusetts House leaders will advance a bill Wednesday that would more than double the total tax on recreational pot and give municipal officials, instead of local voters, the power to ban cannabis shops and farms. The Boston Globe reports that the legislation immediately faced blowback from advocates who said it, quote, insults voters, and from elected officials who said the bill would ensure that the illicit market would continue. But it drew praise from a key lobbyist for cities and towns, and the measure is far from the final step as legislators rewrite the law. The voter-passed initiative calls for a 3.75% state tax and a 2% local option tax on pot sales, in addition to Massachusetts' regular 6.25% sales tax. That's 12% in total. Under the House proposal, the total tax would be 28%. The math, a 6.25% sales tax, a 16.75% state pot tax, and a mandatory 5% local tax that would go into city and town coffers. A Carson City District judge on Tuesday refused to dismiss a lawsuit brought by liquor distributors against the Department of Taxation over the distribution of recreational marijuana to pot dispensaries, according to a report in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Judge James Wilson said in rejecting the motion that the factual disputes need to be heard in an all-day hearing set for Monday. One of those disputes involves the Department of Taxation's intervention in a licensing process by liquor distributors in Clark County who were seeking to participate in the distribution process. The decision could delay the start of recreational marijuana sales originally set for July 1st via the existing medical marijuana dispensaries operating throughout Nevada. Governor Chris Christie announced his agreement with bipartisan plans in the New Jersey legislature to facilitate expungement of criminal records for people convicted of drug crimes. In a statement, Governor Christie's office said the legislation would, quote, help reclaim the millions of family members, friends, neighbors, and coworkers in New Jersey and across the country who are stricken by the disease of drug addiction, end quote. Three new expungement reform bills developed by Governor Christie and Senator Sandra Cunningham, a Democrat of Hudson, as part of their continuing bipartisan endeavor, would prohibit employment discrimination based upon an expunged criminal record. Strengthening New Jersey's Opportunity to Compete Act, also known as Ban the Box, sponsored by Senator Cunningham and signed into law by Governor Christie in August 2014. It would also accelerate expungements and increase the number of convictions that can be expunged and reduce the waiting period to expunge an entire juvenile record. Marijuana Business Daily reports that Mexican President Vicente Fox called for cannabis to be included in international deals such as the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Speaking to reporters Tuesday before delivering a keynote address to the National Cannabis Industry Association conference in Oakland, California, Fox predicted the rise of a legal Mexican marijuana market that will lead to exporting and also said the barriers to international cannabis trade should be as low as possible. Mexico has moved toward legalizing medical marijuana this year, and Fox has intimated that they will likely legalize recreational cannabis simply because sharing a border with California and its legal market could prove untenable. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
At Herbie
Murphy's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on the Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the two-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Northwest Cannabis Chronicle from the Marijuana Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is the Cannabis Minority Report. The war on drugs has been called the new Jim Crow, for how it disproportionately polices and incarcerates people of color. As marijuana legalization proceeds, institutional barriers still prevent minorities from fully participating in the new industry. Today, we take a deeper look at these issues in the Cannabis Minority Report.
Welcome to the Cannabis Minority Report. I'm Russ Belville. Today on the program, we return to the Not One Step Back strategy session held at the Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia, by the Drug Policy Alliance. Drug Policy Alliance's Asha Bandele introduces the event and a video recorded by hip-hop star Jay-Z calling for an end to the war on drugs.
I wasn't the one. Not me. I was trying to be Harriet Tubman. I was trying to be Sojourner Truth. I was trying to be Frederick Douglass. I was trying to be a big, loud-ass mofo from Brooklyn saying, not one more child, not one more time, and not on my damn watch. And I don't care who is sitting anywhere. They want to go low. They want to recall the drug war. They want to say that we're going to incarcerate us some more. We're going to say we're not going to take one step back. If you think you want to go low, we're going to go hard. That's who we are. That's who we are. So,
all right.
Let them know, anyone within reach of your voice, on Twitter, on Facebook, yes, I know that's Instagram. I didn't always know. Oh, and that's our website. So these are the hashtags we're using today. No more drug war or N1SB, not one step back. Please use them. Spread the conversation. It's all of us talking to the people we know that helps get it out here. Let me say a couple of things. We have emergency responders in the room. There's times that many of us, even those of us who are used to these conversations, can be triggered. And if that is you, please come find me. I will be here all day, and we will have someone who can work with you. It's not a counseling session, but it is somebody who can hold you if you need to be held and listen to you and not let you feel triggered alone. No one in here is going to feel that today. If any of my emergency responders are here already, would you please stand? There's more, and there will be more people coming throughout the course of the day. If you know somebody who is in an overdose situation, we have emergency responders. Do not let anybody be ill on your watch. Please come and find me and call 911 as well. That said, I want to give you a couple of notes about how the day will go and how we'll ask folks to interact. We're going to open up with a keynote framing address from the godmother of this work, the woman who has taught us all and held us all. Dr. Deborah Small is here today, and we're going to hear from her. And then we're going to have three roundtables, each roughly for an hour and a half. The first part of the roundtable for roughly 45 minutes, we're going to hear from our gathering of experts. And then we will hear from all of you. So we'd like to encourage you to be part of that conversation. And then finally, I want to say that at the end of the day, we will hear from Maxine Waters, who will be here at 5 o'clock today to address us. And before I go on, you know, Brian mentioned her, but I can't get off this stage without thanking Allison. Is she here? She in the room? She's working. I'm gonna say something that I know some of you will understand and some of you will hear for the first time. I live in New York, where so many black people have been displaced from work. And so for me to come down to Atlanta and see a building run by my people like this, with this level of excellence, is something I don't get to see every day, and I don't take it for granted when I do. It used to be like this a lot. But Fulton Street still in Brooklyn hasn't been rebuilt since the rebellions in 1968. The only areas that have been rebuilt, we've been kicked out of, like an ethnic cleansing. You can see it on Auburn Street here in Atlanta. You can see it in Tulsa, where there used to be a Black Wall Street. And so to come down and see what Allison manages to pull together with her team, with Tony and everybody else, is beyond masterful. It's late nights, it's knowing every nook and cranny, it's grace, it's elegance, and although she is not here, give her a round of applause, because that sister is everything. And my own team, so dear to me, led by Nyoka and Laini. This is also work you do on weekends. It's work you do in the small hours. It's work you do even though you've had 3 hours of sleep with a brand new baby. And so let me acknowledge Laini over here. And I don't know where Nyoka got to. She in here somewhere, but Laini and Nyoka. And finally, I want to say why we're also doing this. We used to do our partner gatherings as small, inward-facing discussions, almost like a staff meeting. And we get together, about 40 of us someplace, and we talk about different issues in drug policy, the 40 or so partners that make up DPA's national partnership of aligned organizations working together. And last year, we did it at Columbia, forward-facing, and they said, let's do it again. And so if you are a DPA partner, I want you to now stand, because you make DPA what it is. You are our heart and our soul. These are our partners. That's a lot of y'all. I need to acknowledge our team at Drug Policy Alliance in full, because there's no way that Nyoka and Laini and I could do this together. And so for the DPA staff that has traveled across time zones and is driven here. Tony Newman, I see you. Eunices, I see you. Please let everybody see you. Is Art Way in the house? If I'm forgetting your name, don't neglect to stand. If you are a DPA staff member, let the team see you. Let our people see you. And before I take my leave, let me make note of a woman who has been a thought partner with me. And as I told her, my first believer, when I said, I'm not sure what it is, but just work with me. We're going to transform people's lives. Just sat with me over tea and over coffee and over lunches and over a number of months, and nobody has ever given money to the program that we do. Nothing. It was all internally driven by DPA general operating funds. But that changed this damn year, I'll tell you that. And Chloe Coburn is in the house from Open Philanthropy, and she is making a huge difference across Chloe, across the criminal justice field. And so with that said, and with my gratitude, I'm going to ask Laini to come up here, because last year, for the first time, Jay-Z took a public political opinion. We knew he had his politics. We knew what he was doing on the low for Black Lives Matter, but he had never assigned his name to anything. But he did, working in collaboration with Dream Hampton, the filmmaker and organizer, and Revolve Impact, and we made this video that ran on the front page of the New York Times and went viral and was seen by more than 15 million people at the end of the day. So, Laini, can you come here? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to get out of the way.
In 1986, when I was coming of age, Ronald Reagan doubled down on the war on drugs that had been started by Richard Nixon in 1971. Drugs were bad, fried your brain. And drug dealers were monsters, the sole reason neighborhoods and major cities were failing. No one wanted to talk about Reaganomics and the ending of social safety nets, the defunding of schools and the loss of jobs in cities across America. Young men like me who hustled became the sole villain, and drug addicts lacked moral fortitude. In the 1990s, incarceration rates in the U.S. blew up. Today, we imprison more people than any other country in the world. China, Russia, Iran, Cuba. All countries we consider autocratic and repressive. Yeah, more than them. Judges' hands were tied by tough-on-crime laws, and they were forced to hand out mandatory life sentences for simple possession and low-level drug sales. My home state of New York started this with Rockefeller laws. Then the feds made distinctions between people who sold powder cocaine and crack cocaine, even though they were the same drug. Only difference is how you take it. And even though white people used and sold crack more than black people, somehow it was black people who went to prison. The media ignored actual data to this day. Crack is still talked about as a black problem. The NYPD raided our Brooklyn neighborhoods while Manhattan bankers openly used coke with impunity. The war on drugs exploded the U.S. prison population, disproportionately locking away black and Latinos. Our prison population grew more than 900%. When the war on drugs began in 1971, our prison population was 200,000. Today it is over 2 million. Long after the crack era ended, we continued our war on drugs. There were more than 1.5 million drug arrests in 2014. More than 80% were for possession only. Almost half were for marijuana. People are finally talking about treating addiction to harder drugs as a health crisis, but there's no compassionate language about drug dealers. Unless, of course, we're talking about places like Colorado, whose state economy got a huge boost by the above-ground marijuana industry. A few states south in Louisiana, they're still handing out mandatory sentences for people who sell weed, despite a booming and celebrated $50 billion legal marijuana industry. Most states still disproportionately hand out mandatory sentences to black and Latinos with drug cases. If you're entrepreneurial and live in one of the many states that are passing legalized laws, you may still face barriers participating in an above-ground economy. Venture capitalists migrate to these states to open multi-billion dollar operations, but former felons can't open a dispensary. Lots of times those felonies were drug charges, caught by poor people who sold drugs for a living, but are now prohibited from participating in one of the fastest growing economies. Got it? In states like New York, where holding marijuana is no longer grounds for arrest, Police issue possession citations in black and Latino neighborhoods at a far higher rate than other neighborhoods. Kids in Crown Heights are constantly stopped and ticketed for trees. Kids at dorms in Columbia, where rates of marijuana use are equal to or worse than those in the hood, are never targeted or ticketed. Rates of drug use are as high as they were when Nixon declared this so-called war in 1971. 45 years later, it's time to rethink our policies and laws. The war on drugs is an epic fail.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. If you're an organization or business looking to promote your brand, we have sponsorship patronage available at mjagenda.com. Sponsorship includes 15 and 30 second ad breaks and 6-minute interviews on the podcast, depending on sponsorship level, which begins at $19.99 a month. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the gay agenda, only with better music.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for Police for Reform with Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead of fright.
You know, it's not easy trying to debunk 80 years of anti-marijuana propaganda in a one-hour podcast, but let's try. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Well, earlier in the news, I told you about the plans on Beacon Hill, the legislature in Massachusetts planning to make radical changes to the voter-approved marijuana legalization that passed in 2016, including raising the tax from 12% total to 28% total, and like they did in the West Idaho Compromise out here in Oregon, allowing the local officials, city councils and county clerks or county commissions, to be able to ban pot shops and other marijuana-related businesses rather than through a vote of the people, as the people passed it. So I wanted to focus today on this editorial from the Boston Herald, which is in support of these changes. It says, pot is on the agenda on Beacon Hill this week, and the House bill aimed at regulating the legal sale of weed looks like a good faith effort at dealing with the hodgepodge voters approved last November. That's your opening paragraph that somehow what we put together after careful years of research and decades of marijuana activism and learning from the example of four other states and having very high-priced, well-paid, well-educated public policy people put this together, it's just a hodgepodge because, you know, we're just potheads. What do we know about public policy? They continue by saying the legislature's Marijuana Policy Committee, scheduled to hold a final executive session today on their bill, has settled on a tax that could go as high as 28%, well above the 12% called for in the referendum, with 5% of that a local option tax for communities that agree to host pot shops. The tax is on the higher end of those locales that have legalized the sale of recreational marijuana, presumably high enough to pay for the added cost of enforcement and regulation, but not so high as to encourage a shift to the black market. A shift to the black market? Everything's black market right now. What this will do is prevent a shift away from the black market. It also continues in their editorial to discuss other aspects of this, but I just want to focus on their attitude toward the people of Massachusetts and toward the people that put together these ballot legalization proposals. It says at the end here, if the damn Boston Herald website would stop bouncing around, somebody do something about these awful news website templates that continually refresh like every 3 seconds so you can't get it to stand still. I digress. They conclude by saying, this version of the bill would allow cities and towns to opt out of pot sales by the vote of a governing body, town selectman, or the city council, rather than the community-wide referendum required by the ballot question. The pot advocates behind the ballot question will, of course, not be happy because they continue to take the position that every last word of that excruciatingly detailed measure is writ in stone. Wait a minute. Was this a hodgepodge or was it excruciatingly detailed? You can't have it both ways. And yes, when we put language before the voters and a majority approves it, we kind of think the majority meant that it was somewhat written in stone. They say this bill represents a far better deal for taxpayers and for communities willing to put up with what amounts to drug dealing. It's as good as this ill-advised venture will get. So I penned a response to the folks at the Boston Herald, and we hope that it stays up on their page. And I hope I can get this website to scroll down so I can read it to you, because this website for BostonHerald.com sucks. Continually waiting and waiting and waiting as the screen scrolls and scrolls and scrolls and scrolls. Maybe I'll pull it up faster on my Facebook page since I've got it posted there as well. You can go to facebook.com/radicalruss if you'd like to read it for yourself. But the Boston Herald's just starting to piss me off here because this website page is not working. So we're just going to kill that because we're doing it live. Ran out of memory. How nice. Very good. All right. So... we don't have it. Okay. Let's see if we can get Boston Herald page back up. Rewriting. Oh, I'm so sorry, listeners. Hate it when this happens and we have bad computer programs working, but here we go. I added a comment to the page on this editorial from the Boston Herald on rewriting the pot law, where they support raising the taxes. Dear editors, as a self-appointed lobbyist for the Massachusetts Weed Dealers Guild, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the illicit marijuana manufacturers and distributors of our great state. According to the crowdsourced reports at priceofweed.com, an ounce of high-quality marijuana is fetching about $340 for members of our guild. When Massachusetts passed marijuana legalization, many members of the guild were concerned that a taxed and regulated supply of legal cannabis would cut into their profit margins. That concern was magnified when proponents of the initiative capped overall taxation at just 12%, which would be the lowest rate in the nation. With this recent proposal to increase taxation to 28%, we feel that it will be quite easy to maintain our $340 per ounce prices. Even if legalization reduces the wholesale price of marijuana by 20%, the additional taxes will still keep the store prices above $340. Of course, initial prices will be close to or higher than our guild's $340 standard. A 28% tax makes a $340 ounce cost $435, which will help our members by turning off potential customers at the very beginning of legalization. Also benefiting our guild members is the proposal to allow town councils, not the voters, to ban pot shops. as they are much more likely to do so than voters who passed legalization by a strong majority, that will mean fewer legitimate competitors for our illicit weed dealers. Business will be booming, aided by the fact that now our customers can legally carry around an ounce of our product without penalty, and our producers can cultivate 6 cannabis plants at home without penalty. So in closing, thank you for doing all you can to ensure that highly profitable, unregulated, untaxed industry we've built can continue running alongside your legit industry that will only attract novelty seekers, tourists, and Massachusetts residents who don't want to drive the short distance to Maine to pick up what will be far cheaper legal marijuana. Sincerely, Russ Belville, Massachusetts Weed Dealers Guild. It's just so obvious, and it's so painful to see these legislators get a marijuana legalization that they resisted and resisted and wouldn't pass through the legislature for years and years, even though the people demanded it, that once the people finally pass this through their legislature or through the initiative process, the legislature then goes and ruins it and goes against the better judgment of the people who are the experts in this field. It's very frustrating. I feel bad for the people of Massachusetts. Let's hope that the Senate comes to its senses and nixes these added taxes.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every Friday for the Reefer Rock Review with Herb Thrasher from 420radio.org. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Welcome to the Southwest Cannabis Chronicle. Today, we catch you up on the latest news and speak with an expert from the sunny southwestern region of America. From the Lone Star State all the way to the islands of Hawaii, including the evolution of consumer cannabis in Las Vegas and the rest of Nevada. Grab your sunscreen and drink plenty of fluids. It's time for the Southwest Cannabis Chronicle.
Welcome to the Southwest Cannabis Chronicle, our regular feature on the issues surrounding marijuana law reform in the southwest region of the United States, including Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and Hawaii. Today on the podcast, we take a look back to last month's Global Cannabis March in Fort Worth, Texas, where advocates and activists gathered on the steps of the Tarrant County Courthouse to deliver a series of speeches. First, you'll hear my speech, where I'm quoting prominent Texans on the issue of marijuana reform, followed by LEAP speaker and police officer, an active duty police officer,
followed by active duty police officer Nick Novello.
Now we're going to hear a speech from Radical Russ. He hosts The Marijuana Agenda, a news and talk radio program for the cannabis community. He's a prolific writer. He reports live from every marijuana election since 2010. And today, he's here to talk to you. What a joy. Russ.
Thank you so much. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is at MJAgenda.com. You heard Aaron earlier talking about fighting ignorance. This is how you fight ignorance. I'm on the air 2 hours every day spilling facts, science, reason, logic, compassion, truth, honesty, and justice.
Yeah.
And it's free! So pick it up. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, YouTube. If it's electronic, this is where you pick it up. All right, here you go. You can take that. So, this is my fifth year coming to Texas. I was in at the Cinco de Mota March. Anybody else was at Cinco de Mota here in 2012? And I came back. So I'm from Portland, Oregon, where I can walk six blocks away from my house and go to a legal pot shop. I can walk six blocks down the street and not have to worry about hearing sirens. Because none of that is legal there, because people like us got together, registered to vote, petitions, got the law changed, and fought for our freedom, like you are.
Yeah.
You're making this happen. And when I came back from Texas the first time, I had a friend of mine, you know, people on the West Coast, where it's all hippy-dippy liberal, we got our weed. Right.
Oh man, Texas, that's gotta be hard, man. Texas, man, they're never gonna legalize it. It's gonna be forever in Texas. I said, you wait. Texas is gonna shock the law. First of all, you already got CBD, which some states, my home state, I was born in Idaho, and then Idaho vetoed CBD. So you're already ahead of Idaho. I know it's a low bar, but you're already ahead of Idaho. In that respect, give yourself a hand for coming up with that law. And now you got HB 2107. You're gonna go whole plant marijuana, whole plant cannabis for your patients, that all patients can access whole plant cannabis and smoke it. If you guys pass that, that's the first state to do that since 2008.
Since hell yeah!
Can Texas do it? Wonderful man,
that I met out here who inspired me, who made me realize, hell, if Vincent can do it, anybody out here can do it.
Yeah.
People like Alexis Bortel. I met her, she was 9 years old. Now she's over 700 days seizure free. Yeah. So let's hear it for the men and women who make the difference, but especially the women. Let's hear it for the ladies. I said for a long time that one committed female activist is worth five men. Because women, we all know the rule, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If mama rocks the cradle, rules the world. And that's what I want to quote my second Texan. My simple text to the late Governor Ann Richards.
Oh yeah, I'm
a who said, with regard to women in politics, if you give us a chance, we can perform. After all, Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did. She just did it backwards and in heels. That's it, ladies. So remember that we are fighting the good fight. We are on the right side of history, just like the people who fought for the abolition of slavery, people who fought for the civil rights movement, people who fought for the gay rights movement, for the women's rights movement. This is a civil rights movement.
Yeah!
And to that extent, let me quote again the eminent philosopher Bill Hicks, who said, quote, why is marijuana against the law? It grows naturally on our planet, serves a thousand different functions, all of them positive. To make marijuana against the law, it's like saying that God made a mistake. Like, on the seventh day, God looked down and said, there it is, my creation, perfect and holy in all ways. Now I can rest. Oh, no. Oh, my me. I left pot all over the place. If I leave pot everywhere, that's going to give people the impression they're supposed to use it. Now I have to create Republicans. So, in closing, thank you so much, Texas, for inviting me out here for my fifth year. And I leave you with a quote from my last favorite Texan, the late writer Molly Ivins, who said, quote, if you ever get to the place where injustice doesn't bother you, you're dead. All of you are very alive and very woke. Thanks for being here.
To the reason I all came to the marijuana march today, to see an active duty police officer.
Hell yeah!
Your talent veteran.
Hell yeah!
Christian minister. Come out and speak to you about why he believes it is high time we end cannabis prohibition in the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the very brave, the very bold Officer Nick Novello.
Yeah!
You know, I'm always struck by the degree of conviction here. And what really touches me is for the most part, I see conviction born of affliction. Born of those of you who carry the burden and suffered. So for me, it's a privilege to stand here. It really is. I want to tell you about 6 years ago, I don't know how many remember Tim Timmons. He was an activist and he was also a quadriplegic. I had the privilege of meeting him and he was dying. He had a few months to live and he looked at me with a smile on his face and he asked me a question. He said, Nick, am I a criminal because I smoke? In order to arrest my tremors. And it made me very emotional. I understood then, I had my epiphany. And I do love the Lord, I preach the gospel everywhere. But that means I love people. I do not judge anyone. And I speak for decriminalization. Please, before I leave, you're tired, you've been here a long time. I have a Facebook account, I'm asking you to follow me because when I think of people talking about my losing my job, I could care less. That pales in comparison to those of you who use cannabis medicinally. I will stand with you. What I'm trying to accomplish, because any city today in the state of Texas that says we're going to euphemize how we deal with cannabis, meaning we're going to issue citations and cite release, that's not acceptable. That's still criminalization. That's not acceptable. We need to speak with great specificity to our want that we cease criminalizing and incarcerating our young. Hillary Clinton made a statement. She said it takes a village to raise a child. So the question comes, what happens when we criminalize and incarcerate our children? That's where we are. That has to stop. Please, again, I have a Facebook account, Nick Novello. This is not about me. This is about choices and freedoms and caring and loving people. And I do it all in the name of Christ. My experience with Christ is... He saved me, and I have no reason to live. And so I'm privileged to stand here, proclaim his gospel, and to say I stand in unison with you, and thank you for your time.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platshorn's TheSilverTour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at HempInc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Shark Sessions from The Marijuana Show. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
Experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was the point.
I think we'd be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Sometimes when we're working in the field of marijuana law reform, we get dismissed as unserious or uncaring or spending our time on an unimportant issue, dismissed as potheads who just want to get high. And yeah, we've been on the receiving end of that for years now, over a decade. And I know many of you get that as well. Why do you take this so seriously? Why is this such a big deal? Why are you so concerned about marijuana legalization? And I've said before how marijuana legalization impacts all of our civil liberties, and the most important one of those is the right to life, right to just live. And we have a story coming from KYTX-TV in Texas, where the Texas Rangers are now investigating the death of an inmate at the Smith County Jail. Smith County Sheriff's Office detention officer found 21-year-old Carlos Jose Hernandez Jr. of Troop hanging from the shower from a ligature early Monday morning. Jail staff called Code Blue. However, Hernandez was pronounced dead a short time later by Tyler Fire personnel and EMS. Hernandez was booked into the Smith County Jail on Sunday, charged with possession of marijuana, possession or delivery of drug paraphernalia, possession of controlled substance, and also had an Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, hold. Total bonds were $8,500. However, he couldn't bond out due to the ICE hold. Due to his response to pre-booking questions, Hernandez was placed in a side cell on suicide watch with 10-minute observations. A check of the observation logs and video camera footage found the side cell observations had been made properly and timely within the prescribed time period. Hernandez had last been checked at 12:02 a.m. and 12:11 a.m. and was observed to be sleeping. It was during the 12:20 a.m. check that Hernandez was found hanging by a ligature from the shower in the single-man side cell. No further information will be released at this time, pending the completion of an investigation by the Texas Rangers. Possession of marijuana. 21-year-old man. Pressed into such stress, such worry, such fear, such depression, they decided to end his own life. And I'm not faulting the cops in this. It sounds as if they did everything according to procedure, checking him every 10 minutes. Within the 9-minute period between 12:11 a.m. and 12:20 a.m., he's able to hang himself. Perhaps that suggests we ought to have 5-minute checks or consistent watch or something, but I want to focus on the reason that he was there in the first place, the marijuana possession. Something for which he would not be taken to a jail cell, and the intersection of that with our recent administration, our new administration's furious crackdown and demagoguery and demonization of immigration. And let's not kid ourselves. We're not talking about Swedes or Canadians or Japanese who went to immigrate here. We're not talking about Indians and Chinese that we're bringing over on H-1B visas. And no, we're talking about Mexicans, Latinos, Hispanics, and this demonization of them. And this young man, 21 years old, perhaps feeling that the immigration's hold is going to put him away. Maybe he grew up here. I don't know much about the man, but perhaps he grew up here in America, and the idea of being deported back to a country he's never lived in and never wanted to go to, maybe that was too much for him. And that immigration hold meant that he had a total bond of $8,500. You can bond out for 10% through a bail bondsman. So for $850, this guy could have been out of jail. And maybe had the opportunity to talk to someone, talk to a lawyer, talk to a family friend, talk to anybody that might have turned his mind around, might have given him a chance to live. But no, this guy, 21 years old, now dead, because he got caught with weed and a pipe. And there's no good reason for that to be the case. This is why I do this, and this is it can be tough sometimes. It can be very stressful sometimes, but I know that I've got it real good in comparison to a lot of people still stuck in red states, to people that are still under the boot heel of this adult marijuana prohibition. For those of us who've lived through that, I grew up in Idaho as a stoner, and I know that feeling, that fear, that paranoia, that every time you see a cop car pulled up alongside you or behind you, it could be the beginning of a radical restructuring of your life, or for many people, the end of their lives. That's why we take this so seriously on the Marijuana Agenda. And you know what our agenda is? We just want to live and be left alone. That's all the time we got for first hour. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
On Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.